This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. President Bush will follow up his State of the Union speech with appearances today and tomorrow in five states. He'll be in North Dakota, Montana, Nebraska, Florida, and Arkansas, trying to build support for his plan to overhaul Social Security. To get an idea of what voters are saying about that plan and other ideas in his address to the nation, we sent reporters out last night to gauge the opinions of three groups. We begin with NPR's Greg Allen, who met with some senior citizens in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
John Knox Village is a sprawling retirement community in the Kansas City suburbs, one of the largest in the country. Members of the community's Republican and Democratic clubs watched the president's address together last night in a common room, a piano and American flag next to the TV. As it turned out, the five Republicans sat at one table, the six Democrats at another. Afterwards, at the Democratic table, 83-year-old Walt Doyle said he was skeptical about the president's basic premise, that the Social Security system is in crisis.
Well, he failed to mention the most obvious thing, that we have billions of dollars in the Social Security fund. The Republicans say the money isn't there. Of course it's there, just like any other bond.
79-year-old Hazel Belden is a Bush supporter.
I don't think there's a crisis, but I think we have to work toward being careful to how we work it out to get everybody where they can have money later.
I know our children are saying that it won't be there for them already, but it will be if we fix it.
Genevieve Haas was particularly concerned about the president's proposal to divert some Social Security taxes into personal savings accounts.
My family worked very, very hard, saved their money, lost it all in 1929. For my way of thinking, it scares me to death when I think of my little grandkids coming to the end of their retirement and they've saved and they don't have it.
68-year-old Mary Alice Genzer said there was one thing that bothered her about the president's speech.
For the most part, we could all agree with the goals and the ideas, but I have heard nothing about sacrifice. Now, I was a child in World War II, but I distinctly remember we had things like excess profits taxes. We had things like luxury taxes. I didn't hear anything like that. That we talk about what our soldiers are sacrificing, and we're not talking about ourselves.
They also talked and disagreed about President Bush's record on foreign affairs and his energy policy. But although because of their ages they wouldn't be affected by the president's Social Security proposals, for this group of retirees, it's clearly the most important issue. Greg Allen, NPR News.
I'm Audie Cornish in Medford, Massachusetts.
Does everybody have lasagna?
Just across the green from Tufts University, graduate school students from the Fletcher School gathered on a futon and floor pillows for a supper of lasagna and donut holes. Party host Melissa Tritter was charged with keeping track of the number of times the president used certain words.
I'm sure I missed some. We were talking a lot. But at least 19 mentions of freedom and at least 21 mentions of terror. Terror is the winner in this speech.
The group of 10 American and foreign students was hesitant to voice an opinion on the details of the president's Social Security plan. During the speech, they reacted to the president's description of a looming crisis with Social Security with puzzled silence. 29-year-old Ohio native Brian Dench says the president's proposal to create private investment accounts doesn't seem that much different from his own retirement plans.
In my experience, most people plan to supplement their Social Security. I mean, even right now, I don't know of that many people who can actually survive solely on Social Security checks. It's like saying to you're going to rely on Social Security is like you're going to rely on the government to take care of you when you retire. And I could never rely on the government to do that.
But these international relations students were particularly interested in what the president had to say about foreign policy. They say the big difference between this speech and the last State of the Union address was the president's language. Mr. Bush spoke strongly about Syria and Iran and promising to stand up to governments that support terror. But according to the students, he didn't use confrontational language. 26-year-old Rudy Jafara is from Lebanon.
He toned down his rhetoric. He did not bring out those catchphrases, no evil. He did not look for those big, broad sweeps where evil democracy, American democracy is fighting evil in this world and some countries are part of evil and stuff.
The students say the speech was marked by what they didn't hear. not enough about Afghanistan, nothing about global environmental concerns or the U.S. economic picture abroad. 23-year-old Karen Demersian says for overall style and presentation, they give the president an A.
But for content, I'm going to have to give him a B minus, hopefully not with any great inflation therein, just because I think that though he addressed the topics that we all expected he would address with poise and with good speech and with new ideas, I don't think that the United States' foreign policy can or does rest entirely on Iraq and its direct environs, and I don't think that he moved beyond that very much.
The students say they came away with the feeling that all of the president's big ideas and initiatives were reserved for his domestic agenda, and that the era of global aid plans and other large-scale initiatives is over. For NPR News, I'm Audie Cornish.
I'm Tom Bonsi with the patrons at Galloping Gertie's Bar and Grill. We're just outside the gates of Fort Lewis, Washington, the biggest army base on the West Coast. In the Western time zone, the State of the Union starts around the time happy hour ends. The president's face fills the big screen TV in the lounge. Here, his speech comes with a country music soundtrack, and no one pays much attention at first.
This evening, I will set forth policies to advance that ideal at home and around the world.
The president launches into his domestic agenda. When he gets to revamping Social Security, ears begin to perk up. 37-year-old Rich Gowdy strains to hear the plan.
Yeah, I'm really interested in my future and my kids' future to find out where we stand with the Social Security.
On the way to his Jeep parked out front, Gowdy says he welcomes the idea of personal retirement investment accounts. His openness to tinkering with Social Security is widely shared by younger people this evening, also including 32-year-old construction worker Rick Lasker.
As long as you give me the money that I put into Social Security, and especially if you let me invest it, that is an excellent thing. I believe, I'm afraid the way I'm hearing things lately that I'm not even going to have the benefits that I paid in.
Galloping Gertie's is a favored hangout among the Fort Lewis military community. More than 16,000 soldiers from this base are deployed overseas, the majority to Iraq or Afghanistan. Army wife Jennifer Fields has her husband back from the Middle East and now wants the president to bring his friends home, too.
I don't know. I just hope he can finish what he's done. Us going over there in Iraq, I'm hoping that he can finish it. But I think those guys need to come home because they don't want us there anymore. They don't. And I think we've already done what we should do. We've already went in there. We've got, you know, we got Saddam. I think we're done.
One table over, veteran Bob Brown sides with the president's contention that the U.S. has to stick it out until Iraqis can defend themselves.
And it's like Vietnam. You know, we're going to wind up pulling out of there, I feel, someday. And it's a disgrace to the guys that have died over there when we pull out. And I don't want these guys to bleed for no reason at all.
Brown disagrees with Democrats who want to see a timetable for getting American troops out of Iraq. On the other hand, it is time to get to the other serious business of the evening, the pool table. For NPR News, I'm Tom Bonsi near Fort Lewis, Washington.